Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy! And also a quick reminder, we do have a Patreon where Riley and I do a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket. You have access to that exclusively on Patreon at the $5 tier, which also gives you early Monday releases and all ad-free content. So check it out.
The trigger warnings for today are explicit sexual content.
And this month, we made Riley read Squeak by Vera Valentine. And how many stars did you give this one on Goodreads, Riley?
I give this one 3.5.
Oh,
I enjoyed this one. It was like very heavy story.
Okay.
But it was good. I really liked it. It was a good one.
That's like our highest rated Riley read so
it
far.
Is. 3.5. It is. I think I gave Cum Slut in the beginning a very low one, but I think about it often. So
I was just thinking about it the other day, actually.
Honestly.
We're all thinking about Cum Slut.
That one deserves a higher rating. All right. Are you guys ready?
So ready.
Yes. We begin in one of our main characters' POV, Poppy. It was a hot-ass sunny day, and she's people-watching at the zoo, which she goes to the zoo all the time. She loves it.
Is she the balloon? Is that why her name's Poppy?
No.
No.
That would be good. That would be good. She found herself a shady spot against a wide, low wall outside the tortoise enclosure. She grabbed her sketchbook and pencil case out of her backpack and got busy drawing, using the people passing by as her models as they ooh and ah over the marmosets. I think that's how that's pronounced.
Yeah, it's like a little rodent.
I pictured like a little prairie dog.
I think that's what they are.
After an hour, she managed to sketch out a family. Even in the shade, it was still super hot. She goes to grab her water bottle out of her backpack, but remembers she left it on the kitchen counter. She began to look around for a water fountain when a smooth male voice yelled, "Hey, Red." Poppy prepares herself to be hit on by some asshole and plasters on her best thanks but no thanks smile and thinks of an excuse to give the man. She turns around to see a tall, dark, and handsome man standing in front of her holding a bunch of balloons.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
He had glossy black hair and a gold name tag that said Sebastian. He smiles at her and says, "Hey, sorry, I didn't know your name. I wanted to let you know I'd keep an eye on your things if you had to use the bathroom. I'm just standing out here anyway." And Poppy is all sorts of flustered now. And she's like, "The what? Oh, yeah, thanks. I just want to get a drink of water." Sebastian tells her that the water fountain's busted, but he could get her a bottle of water. Poppy shakes her head no, and he tells her, "I'd probably get in trouble if you had heat stroke, you know. I could lose my job." And Poppy tells him, "Sounds like you were on thin ice to begin with, Sebastian." And he replies with, "Maybe I'm thin ice for giving out so many free balloons to kids. Ever think of that?" As he tugs a fistful of the balloon ribbons in his hand, "If I got fired, I'd sure break a lot of hearts." And Poppy rolls her eyes at him and says, "Fine." Sebastian tells her the guy at the snack bar owes him a favor and it's time for his break and asks her to join him. Poppy grabs her backpack and says, "Sure," and tells him her name is Poppy. Sebastian asks her what brings her to the zoo, and she tells him figure drawing. She has a few boxes to check off for her classes in terms of models and prefers this instead of a classroom setting. She asks him if he's worked at the zoo long and tells him she hasn't seen him before. He says he and his friend were traveling with the circus for a long time, but they didn't get along with management, so they came to the zoo. She asks if his friend is the guy at the snack bar, wondering if her makeup was messed up from the heat or how frizzy her hair was. He says, yeah, that's Keen. He has an attitude problem, but he's really sweet once you get to know him. Sebastian says that's why he has balloon duty and Keen hangs out at the snack bar, but at least it's cool in there and he could smuggle her in too so she can cool off. We're now in Keen's POV. Keen is startled when he hears Sebastian bang the door open. Keen shuts his giant book and is immediately annoyed. They've gotten lucky with the sigils once, but they've never managed to recreate that luck, and now time was running out. Keen spent every free moment he had researching. Keen slips the book under the counter and frowns when he sees a bright redhead follow behind Sebastian. Keen asks Seb, and that's what Keen calls him, who the fuck that is. Super annoyed. Poppy gives Keen an awkward smile, and Seb scowls at him and introduces Poppy and tells him to chill. She just needed some water. Seb tells Keen that Poppy is an art student, and Keen knows exactly what he's getting at, the sigils. If they could even find the right ones before the spell collapse. Beyond the actual intricacy required to make them, Keen and Sebastian were created beings and couldn't manifest the intention they needed the way something truly living could. It'd be a little like trying to give a car a soul. The two halves were inherently incompatible. And speaking of incompatible, Keen was not feeling Poppy eyeing his boyfriend.
Oh, his boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And they were boys. Mm-hmm.
Seb has always been flirtatious because he was made to be the showman out of the two of them. And Keen's job has always been to get things done. What Seb and Keen shared was their first choice as free beings. And there's nothing that can come in between them. So he's saying like what they share is them being lovers.
Ooh.
That's like their lovers. First choice they ever made. Keen excuses Poppy and tells Seb he needs to talk to him about schedules, clearly just trying to get rid of Poppy. Seb was angry with Keen but shows Poppy out, and he stomps back in, grabbing a bottle of water and taking a drink before telling Keen he was a giant asshole to that girl and she didn't deserve it. She maybe could have helped them, and Keen freaks out and is like, you're the one flirting with some girl when they need to be researching. Their protection is going to collapse any day now. Keen storms past Seb, and Seb grabs his shoulders, spinning him around and pinning him against the wall. Seb says, Keen, you can't possibly think, and Keen cuts him off saying, think what? That you'll turn tail for a pretty face, a softer touch, now that we're free, now that I'm not the only choice besides her, Seb. And then we learn a little bit about Xena. Xena had created them to serve her. When they were first created and exploring existence as men, it had been interesting. They were brought into being with all the sense of adult humans, but none of the actual experience. Obtaining that experience became sort of a game to them, a new task to learn. If they did well, they were allowed to remain in their human forms for longer periods of time. Xena controlled everything they did. She used them whenever she wanted to satisfy whatever needs she had. When she wanted to have sex with them, they would grow large, thick cocks. And when she was done with them, their dicks would just disappear.
Oh,
no. Keen went to Seb to comfort him one night after Xena had been especially cruel to him. Seb had been crying from the pinches, slaps, and nasty names Xena always tormented him with. He was left there crying, and Keen laid next to him, pulling him into him. That was the first night they kissed and became lovers. After that night, Keen and Seb frantically found a way to escape Xena. Keen finally found out why they were able to maintain their human forms with one another. Xena's spell had made her the only woman with the ability to control them sexually. Her not thinking a man could wield the spell. And that's homophobic.
It is.
Yeah, Xena. Mm.
Luckily, one night they were able to escape Xena's grasp. They painted their skin in sigils and walked, ran, and hitchhiked hundreds of miles away and found a job at the zoo to blend in. Keen's first memory of consciousness were of bending and twisting, his maker's breath filling his body. Seb stood on his toes and gently kissed Keen, telling him nothing will ever separate them. He tells Keen he's just trying to help, and Poppy really may be able to help. She'll be visiting the zoo again soon, and he'll talk to her about it. Keen pulls him in and says no, he'll find someone different. Keen just didn't trust her.
Being able to turn into balloon animals at will wasn't much of a superpower, all told, but it saved us a great deal on rent.
What?
Mm-hmm. So they're the balloon animals?
They're the balloon animals.
But they could turn whenever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And he sells balloon animals?
They're shifters.
What is he selling?
One sells balloons.
But they're just balloons.
They are actual balloons.
Okay.
There's no other cool balloons. They're just the only two, like, little balloon shifties.
Oh, I thought he was, like, selling his own people.
No, that'd be so cool, though. There is a squeakquel.
A squeak.
Seb was about to argue and Keen passionately kisses him, feeling Keen's bulge grow against his thigh. Keen flips the concession stand sign to closed and tugs the shade down.
I made short work of his zipper and groaned as the heady scent of powdered sugar and latex sweetened the room.
It smells like latex because he's a balloon.
It's a horrible smell.
We were creatures of the carnival down to our cores, and Seb's arousal was a balmy night on the midway. A handful of bright balloons in the funnel cake booth all colliding in the senses.
It smells like the circus.
Yeah, smells like latex and sugar. Delicious.
Yummy. Yum. Who doesn't want to smell that during sex?
It's really painting a picture in my mind.
Seb lets out a bird-like cry and falls back against the freezer. Pushing himself deeper into Keen's mouth. Also, they have a knot at the base of their dicks. Keen squeezes it lightly, forcing the bubble of air further up his shaft. Seb was so close to coming.
Is that like when you go to tie off a balloon?
Oh, just wait. That's not their knot.
He squeezes it in the air. There's air in it.
Their dicks are air. Just wait.
I'm appalled.
My tongue swept up the tempting bud of his balloon tie knot.
Ew.
The playful little wrinkled ring that was quickly melting into his latex-wrapped cock. If I caught it before the shift completed, I got to take advantage of its hypersensitivity. And who could possibly turn that down?
Who could possibly?
That's just a balloon.
Do you think they have to wear condoms?
He is a condom.
I know.
Where do they come? Don't tell me.
It's just air. His smaller tie knot reappeared at the tip, and I flicked it rapidly with my tongue as he panted, giving it a gentle tug with my teeth.
Ow.
Seb tossed his head back with a gasp, his end unknotting with the snap of my tongue before hot, thin jets of funnel cake icing flowed out.
I to soothe wish the sting. That's what came out of a dick.
Could you imagine? I'd gobble it up. They finished, and Seb pulled out, his cock hissing as it deflates.
Ew.
I'm just picturing like... After sex, I'm like, hot. Seb goes to return the favor to Keen, but Keen tells him, nah, he's good. He wants to get some rest before research tomorrow. They slid into each other's arms, letting the shift take over, turning into their red and purple balloon selves intertwined together. And that's how they
wait,
sleep.
Wait, what is their animals?
It never says.
I'm just imagining them like little wiener dogs.
Okay.
And like a giraffe.
That's what I've pictured. Just like little dog animal things.
How dare she not tell us what their animal form is?
Vera, tell us right now. There's a cover, right? Are they on the cover?
I'm pretty sure they're animals on the cover.
I think they're little wiener dogs, right?
I'm pretty sure. We're back in Poppy's POV. It's the next day. She's at home and she takes out her pencil and notepad and resumes the sketch she started at the zoo. It's a portrait of Keen.
Ooh, she's smitten.
But girl, that's not the one that likes you. Sebastian is.
Oh.
The anger in his eyes showed through the sketch. Was he mad at her for flirting with Seb? Or maybe he was just irritated from the heat. Either way, she couldn't remember how Keen's nose looked, so she planned to return to the zoo. This sketch would be perfect for her assignment at school. She needed a stern model, and Keen was it. She tucked her sketchbook and her pen back in her bag and headed back to the zoo. She's super nervous and doesn't want to come off as a creep, but like, I'd be a little creeped out. I'd be like, are you drawing me?
I hate you.
I don't know you.
Yeah.
You redheaded bitch. She sees the concession stand and Keen is working. So she walks up to the stand and Keen asks, can I help you? With a fake ass smile. And Poppy tells him she's looking for Sebastian. And I was like, why would you say that? Of course he's going to be like, bitch, you want my boyfriend?
Yeah.
But she also asks for a bottle of water. Keen slams the water bottle down on the counter and says he hasn't seen him and yells, next. Poppy takes a seat at a nearby table and begins sketching. Her plan worked all along, and she was able to memorize Keen's features for her sketch. Seb walks up behind her and says, well, I'll be damned, Red. You've really captured the essence of bad day Keen there. And Poppy is freaking out a little bit internally. Would Seb think this is creepy? She tells Seb that it's just that he's the right model for one of her school assignments and apologizes, asking if this would bother him. He laughs and tells her she's fine, but probably not to show him. And then he tells her, but lucky me, I get to see you 2 days in a row. She smiled at him a little confused when she noticed he didn't have balloons with him, but she could swear she heard balloons behind her. Because he's a balloon.
Hearing balloons?
He's just walking, just...
Seb says, "So my friend over there caught your eye, did he?" with a mischievous look in his eyes. And she says, "Sure. There's other inspiration too, of course. Like the tamarinds?" Do you know the...
Tamarind?
Yeah, tamarinds?
You never had tamarind?
What is that?
It's like the flavor of all the Mexican candies, tamarind. It's like this dark brown, gooey.
Oh, yeah.
It's like in a shell and you open it and it's like sour.
The chamoy and the chili on
it. Oh my God.
It's so good. But this says tamarinds.
Yeah, I mean, tamarinds are a fruit.
Then he says adorable animals. Maybe it's just, I don't fucking know.
Oh. I mean, he's a balloon. What does he know?
Yeah, true.
It's a primate.
It's a primate? Did you look it up?
Oh, damn.
That was so fast.
Yeah. Wait, like a monkey?
Oh. Oh, those things?
Oh, they're cute.
Tamarind.
Like he's got a mustache.
Okay, tamarind. Tamarinda with a D at the end is the fruit. Tamarind is a monkey. Got it.
Could have happened to anyone.
Both are great.
I don't fuck with monkeys.
Really? They're so cute.
No.
No, fuck monkeys. This is an anti-monkey
their
podcast.
Their fucking hands? Get the fuck away from me.
Never seen them up close.
They're nasty little red asses. They'll throw shit at you.
I've never seen their ass.
And they're like wicked smart. Freaks me out. They're gonna take over.
Travis the chimp?
Didn't he like attack this poor woman's like friend or the actual, his owner?
Yeah, he ripped someone's face off.
And she's still alive to tell the tale.
Yeah, she's anti-monkey too.
As you should be. I knew Harambe, but I'm pretty sure he was a gorilla.
Oh, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Okay, that wasn't his fault.
No, it was that stupid little boy's fault.
Yeah, he should have died.
I don't think that either. Wow, you let the intrusive thoughts really,
they really came out. I don't feel that way.
But how horrible would it be to be that kid just walking around knowing he's the one that got Harambe killed? Everyone hates him, I'm sure. He probably had to go into witness protection program.
Fucking 14, 15 now? I bet he's like homeschooled because if I saw him in class...
Oh, he'd be catching these hands.
Even though I fucking hate monkeys, I don't know why I feel this way, but...
Come out of hiding, bitch.
We still hate you.
This group of four grown women want to beat your ass.
Other than Harambe, fuck all monkeys.
True.
Duly noted. I will join your club.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
They do a little flirting back and forth, and then Poppy brings up Keen, and she asks them if they're, like, together. He gives her a blank look and a few blinks and says, I mean, yes. Redo what I've seen on, and he tells her what I think is Pornhub. And Poppy chokes on a mouthful of water and says, Sebastian, you can't just spring that on a girl, as she laughs. I say I think Pornhub because in the book she says he names one of the biggest porn websites. And that's Pornhub, baby.
That's Pornhub.
Or what, Brazzers? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, but you can get Brazzer videos on Pornhub. True. So like...
Okay, Shelby.
Go to all your porn needs, Shelby.
It's research purposes.
He apologizes with a grin and tells her they've been physically together for what feels like forever, but they've never put a title on it. She tells him, well, they should figure it out because that may be why Keen doesn't like her very much. Seb tells her, great advice, and then he asks her if she does drawings for money, so he just changes that subject. And she's like, commissions? Yeah, I do commissions. And he asks her if he gives her $500, can she make him and Keen something very personal, and she can't tell anyone. And right away, Poppy's thinking, ooh, they want some porn portrait, some smutty drawing.
That's easy, $500.
Yeah. Honestly, that's what my mind would go to as well.
Is it them as balloon animals?
It's the sigils, you silly goose.
Oh.
So she tells him, absolutely. She's like pumped to do this. He says, perfect, and asks if she will be coming to the zoo tomorrow. Keen will let her know what he wants, and then they may have to demonstrate a few things to make sure she does the line work right. And again, she thinks this is a sex thing. Her heart is racing and she is stumbling on her words, but tells him she can come on Friday. And Seb says, cool, he'll tell Keen and they'll see her Friday. We're back in Keen's POV. Seb walks in super excited, telling him Poppy will do the sigils for them, and Keen is livid. Seb asks him what's wrong, and Keen tells him he doesn't want Poppy's help. She looks at him the way Xena did, and he doesn't like it. Seb is now pissed and tells him Poppy asked him what they were, and he didn't even know what to tell her. And he asks Keen what they are. He's been following him around for so long, he's never questioned where he was leading them. It's like he wants to keep him like she did, his voice getting thick and his eyes filling with tears. Keen softens and apologizes, pulling him into him. He tells him he is everything to him and he just wants to protect them. Seb tells him that Poppy is different than Xena and she's not going to hurt them. Keen doesn't reply, he just kisses Seb's forehead and tells him he needs to go to the library for a book he's been tracking down, and asks Seb to take over the concession stand. Seb says okay, and Keen heads to the library. He's tracked down the last bit of lore he needs. With a little luck and steady living hand, he and Seb would be free. Keen actually ends up taking the bus to the nearby art school to find his own artist. The bus stops in front of the college, and he follows a group of people inside. And at this point, Keen didn't really have a plan or know where to look. And then all of a sudden, a loud finger snap catches his attention, and an old man tells him, come on, you're already 10 minutes late, let's go, pointing at him. Keen knows he's not supposed to be there, so he follows the man. The man shoves a soft purple robe into his hands and tells him to get undressed. He knows the drill and to leave the room.
Oh, he's going to be a nude model.
Yeah.
Nice.
Keen is like, what the fuck? But he sees no way out of this, so he just does as he's told. He's unsure of what's on the other side of the door, but he knows it has to be some type of like artist or something like that. Keen walks into the classroom full of art students, and the old man gestured to a raised bed in the center of the room. Keen is panicking a tiny bit and is worried that this will be like when Xena used to ask him to perform. The old man introduces Keen as Mr. Bill Bray and welcomes him to advanced figure drawing. He tells him to disrobe and take his place. Keen nods nervously and removes the robe and gets on the bed, leaning back and crossing his arms on the pillow.
I also want to say, the book didn't go into detail about this, but this whole time I thought their penises were balloons, which I think they're balloons. So I'm wondering what the fuck is happening here, because it doesn't say anything.
It's just like a deflated balloon?
Maybe it is, and it's just skin color once it's deflated, so nobody questions it. I don't know.
Moments later, the door to the classroom swings open, and it's Poppy.
Oh, no.
Poppy is apologizing to her professor and says there's a passport issue, but cuts off abruptly when she sees Keen. And the professor is like, what do you mean? Mr. Bilbrey is right here. And as a matter of fact, isn't this gentleman your model of the week? Poppy recovers quickly, though, and is like, oh yeah, forgot we already found a replacement, and Keen sat for me earlier. Poppy makes her way to an empty seat, and the class begins sketching Keen. Poppy is clearly uncomfortable, and Keen is loving it. The professor calls time and asks Poppy to bring him back to the other room to change, and as they're walking back to the room, Poppy asks Keen what in the actual hell he's doing there. Keen smirks at her and says, you come and bother me at my job. I figured I'd return the favor. Poppy opens the door to the room for him, and Keen immediately drops his robe to the floor, and Poppy is like, what the hell? And Keen is like, you've been staring at me naked for the last 2 hours. Seems a little disingenuous to blush now, grinning at her. She tells him yes, but he was a model. She said, if this is about Seb, and Keen says, it is about Seb. As a matter of fact, he's mine, and I'd appreciate it if you would stop flirting with him. Poppy says fine, but he was the one who flirted first. And she even asked Seb if they were together, and she doesn't want to come in between them. Keen feels kind of bad now and apologizes for making her uncomfortable. Poppy laughs and says it's cool. She's glad they could clear the air, since she'll be drawing them on Friday. And Keen is like, what exactly did Seb ask you to draw? And she tells him that Seb wanted her to draw something very personal and that she couldn't tell anyone. And she just assumed, and Keen says, assumed what, Poppy? And she says, you wanted, you know, an adult drawing of the two of you together.
Oh.
Aww. We're in Poppy's POV now, and she is freaking the fuck out. Keen figures out what Poppy was thinking and has a wicked look in his eyes and steps closer to Poppy. Poppy is feeling all sorts of hot and bothered. She says, look, Keen, I don't know. He's hot, you're hot, I'm good at drawing, and it just seems like, you know, like maybe I'd get money and a fun party story out of it. Poppy can't believe she let herself think that's what Seb meant, but like, I totally get why that's what she thought he meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else would she think?
think it was.
Keen says, oh, so you think I'm hot, like a typical man. And with a predatory smile, he steps closer. Keen passionately kisses her and then says, you are annoying, persistent, and beautiful. I see what Seb sees in you. And this gets Poppy wet.
He hated her 2 seconds ago.
I know.
He was like, wait, no, you're longer interested?
All she had to say was, you're hot. And he said, oh, fuck you. He twirls her hair in his fingers and tells her they don't need an adult drawing. They need her to draw special sigils with precise line work. He asks her if she can do that for them, and she nods. Keen is kissing down her neck and tells her a woman has come in between him and Seb before, and he will not let it happen again. He will have the upper hand this time. He has her pushed up against a rack and puts his hand on the wall next to her, turning the light off, and they are making out and grinding on each other. Keen growls, fuck, why do you smell so good? And Poppy takes note of his smell as well. He smells of burnt sugar. Things are getting even more hot and heavy, and they're on the ground on a pile of mats now, ripping each other's clothes off, and he tells Poppy, shh, easy. I'm gonna take care of you.
Oh.
Poppy, breathe. Share your breath with me, please. Keen's tone was sweetly pleading, the voice of a man on edge of utterly losing it. Maybe it was some kind of kink. I thought through the haze of lust. I did as he asked, breathing into him with our next kiss, his wild moan vibrating on my lips.
Share your breath with me. Oh, so she can blow him up.
Oh
my god.
Is she blowing up his dick?
I think that's what's happening.
I think so.
She could feel his dick on her inner thigh, and it was strangely smooth. Did he already put a condom on? Keen says, Poppy, can I? And slides his hands in between her legs, and she is hella soaked. He grabs her by her waist and puts one of her legs on his shoulder and starts munching away. Then he's fingering her.
Oh.
Come for me, sweet little flower. Let me taste you. It'll make it easier to take me.
Oh. Sweet flower. Keen is now on his knees in between her legs, and Poppy opens herself for him. Keen slides into her, and his dick is huge. She feels something soft and wide bump against her clit. Moments later, the bulge forced its way in her, and she is absolutely feral for this. That bulge hit her G-spot just right, and she comes. And then he comes, and they just lay there snuggling, with his dick still locked in her. Which she thought was kind of weird, but also she really liked it. Poppy turns on the light, and they both have blood on them because they were, like, biting each other. They both, like, bit each other's shoulders.
And drew blood?
Yeah. And Poppy starts freaking out about this, and she's like, oh my god, we just exchanged blood-borne pathogens. Oh, you could have an STI. I'm safe. Are you safe?
Yeah.
Poppy, you're safe, but we really need to talk. He tilted his hips and nodded downward, where his entire pelvic region, still locked into my own, had gone a deep royal purple and translucent. I screamed. So it's just a balloon.
It's a purple balloon.
Yeah.
This brings me back to art class. What was there during art class?
I don't know.
See, Vera, please answer this for me.
Maybe he had like a modesty cloth.
Oh, he could have. He could have. We're now in Sebastian's POV. It's been several hours since Keen left, and he's just now walking back in the concession stand trailer. His hair and clothes are disheveled, and Poppy follows behind Keen, holding his hand, looking the same way. And Seb is just like, what the fuck? And he asks if both of them are okay, and Keen tells him Poppy knows. He told her everything, but also something weird happened. Seb sighs heavily and asks Keen if in all his research, if he ever read the Red Book. The Red Book dealt with sex magic and the dominion Xena had over them.
I looked at Poppy. She was probably scared out of her mind. Boys like that told me Keen had nodded her, which could only mean one thing. She was an actual topomancer, an omega to our alpha natures. And more importantly, she was now mated. However, unintentionally, to Keen.
Oh,
and
no.
And do you know what a topomancer is? I looked it up.
What is it?
The topomancer is like a thing that can create something out of imaginary. So they create a topo, which is an imaginary like friend or something. So yeah, magic.
And she didn't know?
She didn't know.
So she was basically like their fated mate.
Yes. Keen shook his head no, looking to Seb for answers, when it was usually the other way around. He tells them Poppy must be a latent topomancer, not borrowed magic like Xena, but a real one. He tells Keen and Poppy they are now permanently bonded. Poppy starts to panic, and she's on the verge of hyperventilating.
Keen, purr for her. Your omega is distressed, Alpha. Do what you need to do.
Ew.
I hate that.
Seb watched Keen as instinct took over. Keen started making this deep, quiet rumble of a sound, and he could see all of the tension drain from Poppy as she snuggled up next to Keen. Seb sits closer to them and grabs Keen's hand, telling him he's free now. He can't belong to more than one Tulpamancer, and he's all Poppy's now. And Keen is basically like, all because we fucked? And Poppy chimes in and is like, but what about you, Seb? We have to keep you safe too. This is a little shocking to Seb because he figured Keen and Poppy's bond would make it so he would be ousted from the group. According to the Red Book, Poppy should be in heat right now and Keen should be in rut, eyes only for one another for a few days until the bond solidified. Seb leans down and kisses Keen and Keen caresses his face. When Seb breaks away from the kiss, he can see a pleasant heat in Poppy's eyes. Seb tells Keen they have to get her a nest. He asks Poppy if she has a home and says he and Keen don't because they don't need one, because they can just shift into their balloon selves and lay wherever they have to.
God.
They just float around.
Yeah, did they have to like tie themselves to something so they don't like float?
They like intertwine
away?
With each other.
What the fuck?
Poppy nodded, her eyes darting in between both of them. She grabs both of their hands and leads them to her car in a hurry. Since Poppy is in heat, she is all horned up. When they get in the car, Seb gets in the back and Keen takes passenger. Poppy reclines her chair all the way back and grabs Seb by his shirt, kissing him deeply. She then shimmies her pants off and grabs Keen's hand, pushing it in between her legs. Just help me take the edge off, both of you, please.
Keen obediently worked her into a powerful frenzy, and I couldn't resist tugging up her shirt and bra to mouth and tongue her nipples. Keen joined me by treating her other breast, and together we brought her to a panting, whining climax that left his palm utterly drenched. I licked his fingers clean, sharing kisses with both Poppy and Keen until she felt calm enough to drive. Wow, their relationship escalated quickly.
It really did. Quickly. They make it back to Poppy's apartment and prepare for some mating. Seb is stoked. He's excited to mate with Poppy, and he knows Keen still has so much love for him because he made it clear to him, even though he was mated to Poppy. These boys are going to soothe her omega needs.
Yeah, they are.
Poppy and Seb were now officially mated as well, a little thruple. They spend the next 3 days just fucking and enjoying each other.
We'd eventually figure out that a Tulpamancer could change our shape in very interesting ways too. With deft fingers and several assurances nothing hurt, she twisted Keen's shaft into a temporary row of small round bubbles instead of thick columns that both she and I were so fond of. After that, he came with the pleasant revelation that she enjoyed something else I did too. Are they like anal beads?
I was picturing bubble wrap.
I like pictured like anal bead kind of.
Yeah, I think she's doing like an anal bead situation. Oh. She's just like, mm-hmm. She should be the balloon artist at the carnival.
She should.
As I buried myself not deep in her cunt from underneath her, Keen teased and penetrated her ass one small sculpted bubble at a time, pulling out at her moment of climax exactly as she begged us to. So yeah, it's definitely like anal bead type situation.
Anal beads.
Yeah.
Okay. On the last day of Poppy's heat, Xena finally found them, but it was too late. The boys belonged to Poppy. Poppy forced Xena onto the balcony, grabbed her by her hair, and kissed her on the lips.
What?
A kiss of death from one true Tulpamancer to a false one. They closed the balcony doors and settled back into their nest.
She just is like, you go away. It was a strange and beautiful happily ever after, and we made it our solemn mission, even after the heat ended, to find out all the ways that two balloons and an open-minded, mostly human woman could twist themselves up in pleasure.
The end.
Beautiful.
Wow.
What a story. What'd you guys think?
I'm still shocked.
It was something.
It was a wild ride.
It was.
I give it A for imagination. I've never read a story even remotely like this before.
I need a couple answers from Vera regarding a couple things.
Other than
that, okay.
I'll DM her.
Huh. Would you guys trade places?
Immediately,
I don't think the balloons do it for me.
Charlotte's intrigued.
I'm intrigued.
Charlotte will do it.
Take me there.
Do you think that Seb and Keen are hot with their little balloon pieces?
I'm always down for a reverse harem type situation, so I won't knock it till I try it.
I just want to know what it would feel like to fuck a balloon.
You can find out any day of
the
week.
I could do it myself if I wanted. I know. I'd be so afraid if it'd pop in my puss.
That's true. Just get a foil one. A foil one?
Absolutely not.
Charlotte, do you want me to injure myself?
No.
I'm going to get all cut up down there.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten for early access ad-free episodes. And at the second tier, you have access to a podcast of unfortunate events where Riley and I will be doing a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket.
Woo! Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.